The views and opinions expressed during the drive time are those of Dave Glover and his guests and are not those of Northumberland 89.7. Agree, disagree, or have a comment? Call the station and speak with Dave live on the air. Call 905-372-2321. That's 905-372-2321. Now your host, Dave Glover.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Dave Glover. You're listening to Canada's only holistic political chat. It's after 6 o'clock. It's Wednesday, and it's time we at Northumberland 89.7 ask you to consider this. And joining me in the studio, as always, Rob Washburn, professor of e-journalism at Loyalist College, also our community producer for this segment. And today's special guest is the executive director of the Northumberland Community Healthcare Director Duff Sprague. My goodness, Duff. Welcome to the broadcast. Before we get into the conversation, we got a song related to the conversation. We always try to find something. Here's Jackson Browne and Dr. My Eyes on Truly Local Radio, Northumberland 89.7.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if you can. Doctor, my eyes. Too late for me.
1972 was the year on that puppy. That was Jackson Browne, Doctor My Eyes, on Truly Local Radio, Northumberland 89.7. Joining us in the studio right now, live, Rob Washburn, and Executive Director for Northumberland Community Health Center, Duff Sprague. Welcome to the studio, guys. Glad to have the both of you here.
Thanks.
Thank you. Get your mic set, Duff.
Okay.
No, you're there. You are. Welcome to the broadcast. You've been busy these days, eh?
Yeah, we're trying to certainly maintain what we're doing, make changes, and grow. So, yeah, it's been a busy time.
And one of the things I said when I was announcing last hour that you're going to be here is that you guys are probably busier, if not as busy as the hospital. Probably busier, though, eh?
Well, I think that certainly the hospital is probably the busiest place in healthcare, and it's a whole different type of healthcare that's offered. Of course,
different kind of busy, perhaps.
Yeah, hospitals are 24/7. If you come to the hospital door, they have to take you and do the best they can by you. So, I would say they're the busiest.
Well, maybe it'd be a good chance then to explain what it is that the healthcare center does, because it is fundamentally different than the hospital, and yet you talk about having primary healthcare. So could you maybe explain what that is and how it compares to what the hospital does?
Well, Rob, historically, you would talk about primary care, and that would be the first point of entry to the healthcare system.
Mm-hmm.
And most people for the last 100 years would consider primary care your family physician.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way into specialist physicians. That's the way into a hospital bed. So that's what primary care historically has been. And it still exists today. There's lots of solo physicians doing great work around Ontario. They started to get the concept of primary health care, and that's where they started to talk about interdisciplinary teams, that to leave physicians the time to do what physicians are good at, what physicians are trained for, work to their full scope of practice, and have other disciplines around them that can do other things with the clients and the patients.
That sounds a lot like a family health team. How are you different than a family health team?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Rob, because I was the director of the branch at the Ministry of Health that implemented family health teams, and I've been the executive director of a family health team. So I know a lot about them. And one of the differences is, probably the major difference, is that a family health team's, most of them are physician-led and physician-governed. We have a community board. The others have physician governed, and they have health professionals that work with them. We are funded to look after complex patients. That's not to say family health teams don't, but that's our primary mandate. In a family health team, you'll get, children, healthy people, 20-year-olds, and complex patients as well. We really need to focus on the complex patients.
Now, there's one other thing that we need to distinguish you from, and that is a walk-in clinic, because oftentimes people think that you run a walk-in clinic, but you don't.
Well, Rob, they certainly do now, because the walk-in clinic's moved into the second floor of our building. So they certainly think we run it. We don't. It's separate. It's run by a group of Port Hope physicians.
Mm-hmm.
And we have more of a separate situation in that one of the things we provide, it's not a walk-in clinic, but for our patients, we always have a doctor or nurse practitioner dedicated to urgent care every day. So you can call in that day and see one of those providers. Not a walk-in clinic, because it's for our patients.
Now, could you describe then the types of people that come to you, and because you have a specific person in mind that you're trying to help, could you maybe talk a bit about the people whom you do help?
Yeah, I think when the Port Hope Community Health Center first opened 8-9 years ago,
mm-hmm.
it was in response to a lot of Ontarians not having a provider. So at that time, when they started to take in the first wave of patients and clients, they were more like a family health team. Since that time, we've evolved to be more, as family health team grew, solo physicians, we've tried to be more and more like historical community health centers, and that is to focus on that more complex patient. So we have a lot of patients who are similar, could be well served in a family health team, but we are doing our focus now on those complex patients. So I was just looking today at some interesting stats for us, and that is that we looked at 110 clients, and most of them needed chronic disease management,
mm-hmm.
medication monitoring, mm-hmm. mental health, chronic pain, cognitive impairment, and addictions. were the five big issues. And 8% of the 110 had five of those issues. 27% were dealing with four of those issues, and 51% had three. So that just shows you, I think, the needs that we're trying to deal with.
So if I'm listening to this right now, how would I know if I might be a good fit to be using your services if I don't have someone looking after me right now?
Well, I think if you don't have a provider, you don't have a physician, and you have significant issues, health issues, you're not secure in your housing or your income, maybe you have addictions, that we're probably the place to put your application into.
So are you targeting then people who are disadvantaged as compared to other people who maybe can afford or have other types of access?
That is our primary focus. We have a lot of programs that are open to all of the public. We have a health promotion folks inside the community health center, and they do pole walking and yoga, dinners, cooking, nutrition, all sorts of things like that. And those things are open to anyone in Northumberland County. They're not patients per se. Some mm-hmm. of them are. But it's a much broader group that we serve for health promotion issues.
It sounds to me, though, that you are this jambalaya of services that we might recognize, some from the health unit, some from the hospital, some from a doctor's office. It sounds like one of those mythical beasts that are like half goat, half lion, half hawk, or something like that.
No, I love jambalaya, but you've lost me on the other
one. Okay, all right.
We have doctors and we have nurse practitioners, and they offer the primary care, the typical primary mm-hmm. care. We have social workers who deal with the mental health issues, and most of their referrals come from the doctors and nurse practitioners in the place. We have a dental clinic. Mm-hmm. We are kind of a smorgasbord of services, mm-hmm. the kind of services that, you know, the complex patients need, the kind of services that those with income issues and housing issues need. With access in this county, you know that transportation's a very challenging situation, mm-hmm. extremely mm-hmm. challenging. Mm-hmm. We try to offer as many services within that building as possible so that hopefully a person with complex needs can come there, see a diabetes educator, see their physician. If they're in counseling, see their counselor. Make one trip and get those things, you know, and not have to come back repeatedly. That would be the ideal. Of course, coordinating services can be a challenge, but that's the ideal. We've gone beyond that. We've talked to the legal clinic. The legal clinic now comes in to our program one day every 2 weeks. We have a day that's dedicated to our food cupboard. And that's when you can come in and get food support for a very reasonable cost. I think a food basket's $15, has a lot of nutrition, vegetables, etc. And at that time, we have the legal clinic in. We've just talked to Northumberland County. They're going to have a housing and income support worker available to us every week. So when people come into the food security program, they're going to have that kind of support on site as well. If we had the space, we'd invite more of our community partners in who are utilized by our population.
So that's really a thing that makes it different from a family health team, is that you've got that social services aspect as well. So maybe we can talk a bit about that after.
We're going to have a quick break, and when we come back, more on that right here on Trinity Local Radio, Northumberland 89.7. You're listening to The Drive Time. This is Consider This, listeners. We'll be right back.
I'm Chef Michelle.
I'm Chef Michael.
You don't have to be a chef to savor the flavors of Chef's Corner.
Tune in Thursday mornings at 10 to see who we've cooked up for our special guests, and don't forget our skill tasting giveaway.
Join Chef's Corner to tap into the upcoming culinary season and stir the gourmet in you. It's all about food, eating in season, and keeping it local. Chef's Corner Thursday mornings at 10 a.m.
Here on Northumberland 89.7.
Truly local radio.
In 37.
Bingo!
Was that a bingo?
Come on out to reserve your office or birthday party at Hometown Bingo. Each member of your party will receive a free dabber, drinks, and a $5 coupon to purchase bingo paper. Give it a try and have a fun-filled evening with your friends and colleagues. Who knows, you or one of your party members might be a big winner. Call 905-372-5427 to reserve your party today. Hometown Bingo, 884 Division Street, Coburg. Our license number is 8623.
Complete your dream home the ViewTech way.
These are the plans for my dream house. It's going to be perfect if I find the right doors and windows.
Step into our showroom. You're going to love these wood products by Sierra Pacific.
ViewTech Window and Door offers Sierra Pacific products for long-lasting structural integrity, energy efficiency, and the beauty of wood.
These are dream house worthy.
That's the ViewTech way, and it's been that way for 25 years. For Sierra Pacific products, visit ViewTech Window and Door, Church Street at Station, Belleville.
Or call 1-800-893-5853.
Reach us on social media. Go to facebook.com/Northumberland897 or on Twitter at TrulyLocal897.
And welcome back to the broadcast, everybody. Our guest in the studio is Duff Sprague. He is with the he's the executive director. He's not just with them. He's the Port Hope and Northumberland Community Healthcare Center. It really is sort of a one-stop center now. And as you say, you're starting to work with other community partners, and you're talking about being able to provide those services for, you know, for food, health and nutrition, for some legal services, for some housing supports. All of those are available through this, or at least, and more you're trying to bring in there to make it that one-stop sort of facility for people who are in a desperate situation. That's who you primarily deal with, right? People who are in desperate situations, either struggling with healthcare issues, struggling with addiction, people who are struggling.
Yeah, I think you can call that our priority group. It's not exclusive, but it is our priority population. You know, one of the things that I think sets us apart is a dental clinic. We have two dentists who come in and work. We have a full offertory. We have dental assistants and hygienists. And it is for those who aren't insured and are low income. And we are able to reduce dental fees from the basic dental fees by 30%. We are able to do payment plans and those sorts of things, make dental care accessible. Because we're not funded, we have to get our revenue through fundraising, and we also will take some people who are insured, because the insured patients are revenue that assists the patients who don't have insurance.
So out of the approximately $5 million budget that you have, how much of that is fundraised?
None of that would be fundraised. The dental clinic would be over and above. Wow. The food security would be over and above, except for some of the staffing that's dedicated to it.
So how much are you fundraising in a year then?
Well, you know, I don't have those numbers with me, but it's not enough, I'll tell you that, for the dental clinic. We're fortunate to have county support. We've had Trillium support. Mm-hmm. We've had public health support. With two dentists working at a very reasonable, low rate, in fact, we're able to keep the thing alive.
So what is funded then from the province for you folks?
Well, that would be the physicians, the nurse practitioners.
Right.
Administrative, medical secretaries, registered practical nurses, social workers, health promoters. We have diabetes educators. We have dietitians. We have a geriatric assessment outreach program. Everything, with the exception of dental and the resources, not the human resources, but the other resources.
So the legal services, the home housing services, all those things, you're talking about bringing those community partners in under the same umbrella, and yet the province isn't funding those things.
Well, no, legal clinic is funded.
Okay.
We're just giving them space.
Oh, you're giving them, okay.
And
okay.
Northumberland County, of course, we're just providing space,
right.
And we're happy that they're coming to us.
So how much does the county give you then?
Well, the county gave us about $40,000 for dental, and they don't fund us, so this has just been specific programs.
So it's a grant of, is that what they're giving
yes.
you?
Yes. Well, and it's not an annualized amount, mm-hmm. so.
So you're funding primarily through Health Ontario, right?
Through local Ministry health integration. That
right, through the LHINs.
Through the LHINs.
And then the other funding that you might get could come through social services, or is there an access to funding through social services for you? Because you're providing those
not.
Services.
You know, the future, I think, is to go that route.
Right.
There are community health centers that have been around for 20 or 25 years. The Kingston Community Health Center has 16 sources of funding.
Wow.
I couldn't possibly name them all. Carlington in Ottawa has more than 16 sources of funding. We're fairly in our infancy, really, compared
right.
to other
yeah.
community health centers. But we would like the opportunity to go that way. We're space challenged right now. We're pushed up against the walls. We are looking for other space, additional space, and we are looking for that additional space to be in Cobourg.
So what does that mean then when you say you're looking in for additional space in Coburg? What would that mean?
Well, what that means is...
Satellite?
It's a satellite.
Yep.
We have about half of our clients' patients come from the Coburg area. So it's about 50% from the Port Hope area. It's about 50% from the Coburg area. Right now on the intake, the applications, there's actually a little bit more coming from the Coburg area than from Port Hope.
Have you looked at any of the facilities that may be a fit for you here in Coburg, or have you even had that opportunity?
Well, we're actually dealing with the town, and we're looking. This is nothing guaranteed, but our sole conversation right now is with the town of Coburg about the 700 Darcy Street, one of the buildings at 700 Darcy Street. And we're hoping it's very reasonably priced.
Mm-hmm.
The town of Coburg wants us there. We hope that we can strike a deal that allows us within our existing resources to make that move. We're going to look at other sources for additional funding. We're going to go to the Lynn for additional funding. We're going to go to the ministry for additional funding. But we want to make a worst-case scenario plan where we don't get one more penny, but we can still do the satellite in Coburg.
And you're looking at a location like the Darcy Street location is closest to the highest concentration of social housing in the town, right?
That's correct. So we thought it was a great location. And again, the town is, I think, going to be a very motivated landlord. They want us in there.
Now, where do you fit in the eyes of the Lynn? Because that's always sort of an interesting perspective that they have. How do you fit within their worldview in terms of the services that you provide and your priority in funding?
Well, I think that it's kind of an evolving relationship. Hospitals have a lot of attention on them, have a lot of needs. Mm-hmm. I think that the Lynn has put a lot of resources into hospitals in the Central East. And I think community health centers are certainly small by comparison. The Patients First and the Minister of Health have made it very clear that primary care, which is us and family health teams, are the priority. The goal in the minister's letter to the Lynns is that every Ontarian has access to an interdisciplinary team. And as a community health center, we would love to be able to expand our team to provide those services to the patients of every physician in a solo practice. So that physician, too, can work to their level of training and allow social workers to be there for their mental health issues with their patients, health promoters, smoking cessation, all those kinds of things. The physician would still remain the person's provider, but this would just be a very smooth referral process.
Well, one of the frequently asked questions on your website, and you can go to the website, listeners, of Port Hope, porthopechc.ca. One of the questions is, can I get another GP while I'm a client at the health center? And so you sort of answered that question just now, though, didn't you?
Yeah, it's not really switching around. If you had an issue or there was an interpersonal issue with your provider, your nurse practitioner, or your doctor, we would certainly consider that. I mean, it happens sometimes. People aren't a good fit. We recognize that. But, really the goal is to work that relationship out so it's not just where you can come in and kind of change chairs. Consistency in relationship is important to good health care.
One of the hardest things for people who have a doctor in our community is the doctors are slammed. Right. I mean, I have a doctor who's got 25,000 patients. So the chances of getting in to see a doctor are, well, I mean, you can get an appointment, but it's, usually a month down the road. Yeah. How does that differ from what you offer?
Well, if we have you as a client, we have a provider dedicated to urgent care every day. You can get in. You call in the morning, we'll get you in. We have five physicians doing three full-time equivalencies. So five physicians sharing three full-time equivalencies. And we have four nurse practitioners. They all have their own patient load, except one who comes in 3 days a month and really just does urgent care. But if you call in the morning and you're a patient at the community health center, you will be seen. It may not be by your provider. It may be by the person who's on that day. But the nice thing about it is, even if you see another doctor or nurse practitioner who's not yours, they all share the same electronic medical record. You see a social worker, they share the electronic medical record. The communication is through that tool. When you go and do these things and you go see your doctor, when they pull you up, they'll see what you've done, and they'll see who they need to consult with on your issues and those sorts of things.
So that's sort of the benefits of e-health for those people out there that have been whining about e-health. I mean, one of the benefits is that you can essentially see any doctor in the province who can sign in to e-health, and they'll see your records, right?
Well, we're still far away from that.
I know.
within our center, we're all on the same electronic.
Well, I think that though is quite remarkable, because you know, even in the hospital, they can't go between a doctor's office and the hospital. I mean, they're still trying to work out those kinds of relationships.
Yeah.
So the ability to do that is pretty phenomenal.
The challenge, of course, has been that there were a lot of electronic medical record options years ago, and people went different directions. They don't speak to each other, these systems, and you know, wouldn't it be nice to put everybody on one system? But when you're entrenched in what's been difficult to learn, very few are going, yeah, I'll go to that one. They don't want to do it over again.
So these groups, these social service agencies that you work with, I'd like to explore that a little bit more, because I know you work with Greenwood. Is Greenwood Coalition is one of the groups you work with. You work with Alderville First Nation. You work with migrant workers. Are there other organizations that you work with beyond the ones that are we've mentioned so far?
Well, I would add Transition House to that. And these are our nurse practitioners, and they do outreach, and they are an amazing group of providers. And the outreach they do, they also do outreach to our, we have a geriatric assessment program. And that's a team that's got social work and dietitians and occupational therapists and those sorts of things, and they do outreach to really high needs elderly people in their homes, and our nurse practitioners go out to those homes, and they do a great job. It's some of the situations that they encounter, they're just so hands-on, they're just so unintimidated by uncomfortable situations and high needs. And you know, they've been in really some decrepit homes. They've brought people out of them. You know, we've had a nurse practitioner wrap up a dead animal and remove it from the house. I mean, they will do what it takes to make somebody well.
That's something that it was. You mentioned the word outreach. Can you describe maybe more? You've started to describe more in detail what that involves. So explain to us, for example, what does it mean to be doing outreach with the Greenwood Coalition or with the migrant workers? Explain how that works. What's actually happening?
Well, the nurse practitioners go out there and provide them primary care. This population, which we consider, whether it's transportation issues or whether it's income issues, that we can reach out and provide services to. So we consider them our patients. You know, the Greenwood Coalition has a dinner at a church every week. We have a nurse practitioner who goes out to that, and I've been out to the dinner to serve food and that sort of thing. And she provides her care behind the curtain in the basement of a church. Like, she's there to do the work and doesn't need, you know, sort of a nice office or things like that. This is what they do. They'll do the best they can in the environment they have to work with. And that's true going out working with the migrant farm workers. Alderville First Nation has clinics and space and professional space. But some of these other organizations do not, and they make do.
So that meeting that we've talked to the migrant workers, so that meeting that they have where they come in on Thursdays and they go to Horizons of Friendship, you have a worker there who's actually providing health care as those workers come in that situation.
And then we have a nurse practitioner providing primary care.
Well, one of the other programs you're running, too, is something called the GAIN Outreach Team. Now, that gets to a little bit of what we're talking about already, but this is about working with, GAIN is an acronym for Geriatric Assessment and Intervention Network. Now, you guys are focused on cognitive impairments, fall or risk of falls, incontinence, decreased function, impairment mobility, and multiple medications. But how does somebody get hooked up with GAIN, and how is it working?
I think it's working really well. Now, the referrals can come through what was formerly the Community Care Access Centers, but they're now part of the LHINs, can come direct, can come from a physician, can come from one of our providers. And what the geriatric assessment team does is they go out to the individual's home and they address the issues that you're talking about. And these are typically people with very high needs. And some of the residual benefits, I guess, are that if they don't have a provider, we may be able to find a provider for them, a doctor or a nurse practitioner. We have geriatricians who a geriatrician who comes in periodically on a regular basis. We can bring certain people in. We have an exam room with the gang team, and the geriatrician can work with them. So it's
Can I ask how surprised the Lynn has been by the depths of services that you provide? Because one of the things that sort of drives me crazy about like the local health integration networks is that they seem to be there seems to be a huge disconnect between what they're aware of and then what services are being provided in terms of the needs. I mean, I famously remember Lou Rinaldi telling me that MPPs in the Toronto area don't believe that there's homelessness where we are, sure. that people go hungry, that there are people in desperate situations. You're in rural Ontario. Everyone should have a job out there. I mean, that is a myth. And I mean, how difficult is it dealing with the Lynn, which is really sort of urban-rural, mostly focused on the urban, and sort of, it seems to me anyway that what I get from the Lynn's from the people I've spoken to, is there's this disconnect between the services that are actually provided and needed between the services they believe should be provided and needed.
Well, there are 14 Lynns in the province, and we're funded by the Central East Lynn.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a crazy geography that they have to deal with.
Right.
Because they have Scarborough.
Yeah.
And then they also have out here in Northumberland County and more rural communities, so it's a real mix and a balance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that because primary care has primarily been the Ministry of Health's responsibility, the local health integration networks are just in the learning stage. And it's up to us who deliver these services to help them understand, to communicate. You know, we found that they're eager to listen, and we'll sort of continue to build this relationship. We know what we want. And we know what we need,
right?
And now we just need to convince them.
So what's the relationship then between yourselves and the hospital? Do they have people coming in saying that they recognize need more than just the emergency care that they're giving somebody? Do they refer people to you? Is there those kinds of relationships as well?
Well, we're actually just embarking on a pilot project with the Northumberland Hills Hospital. And what we're prepared to do in this pilot is we're prepared to take 12 of their visitors, of their ER users, who visit 10 times or more in a year for concerns that could be addressed in primary care, and we're prepared to take 12 of those patients and see if we can't eliminate them going to the ER. Because, you know, going to an emergency department is about $700 a visit.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can redirect those patients to primary care, that saves the system a lot of money. Now, one of the challenges we have is the hospitals in Cobourg, and we're in Port Hope.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had to say, you know, out of these 12 patients in the pilot, one of the conditions is that they have to be able to make it to 99 Toronto Road, because the pilot's not worth anything if people aren't showing up because they can't get the transportation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we open up in Cobourg successfully, that'll remedy a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
But we're very eager to do this thing with the hospital, because we know if we can save hospital visits, emergency department visits, we can save bed days.
Mm-hmm.
Queensway Carleton Hospital has a figure that's in Ottawa. It's probably a mid to a little larger hospital. $700 for an emergency department visit, $1,900 for a day in a hospital bed. You can get a lot of primary care for that money.
On that note, we're going to take a break. When we come back, more of our conversation with Duff Sprague. He is the executive director at the Northumberland Community Health Center.
Hey, Northumberland, Jumpin' Jody here, inviting you to join me for the Saturday Morning Confusion, heard every Saturday from 9 till noon. I'll be playing the best music of the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and don't miss my segment of Things That Make You Go Hmm. That's Saturday Morning Confusion, 9 to 12, right here on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio.
It's Saturday Morning Confusion. If you think you can sleep, it's illusion.
Hi, this is Lane with What's Happening This Week. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, it's Cobourg's ever-popular sidewalk sale. Lots of good buys, good food is being offered. Friday and Sunday include a music festival. Saturday, it's Cobourg Sandcastle Festival at the Cobourg Beach from 10 a.m. till 4 p.m. Come and create your own sand masterpiece. Friday at the Colburn Legion, it's a Canada 150 roast beef dinner from 5 to 6:30 p.m. Reduced price for veterans and children under 5 eat free. Saturday, movie in the park, Moana, free admission. Movie starts at 8:30 at the Banshaw. Tuesday, we have soup and chilies, the theme of the Teens Can Cook Workshop for young people aged 11 to 16 from 10 a.m. to 12:30 at the Port Hope Health Center located at 99 Toronto Road. If you have an event coming up, you can contact us at info@northumberland897.ca. This is Lane with What's Happening This Week.
Northumberland 89.7 is your source for local news and interviews with people in our community. Listen throughout the day and check out our complete programming schedule at northumberland897.ca.
And welcome back to the broadcast, everybody. You are listening to Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio. This is The Drive Time. It's Wednesday, and we ask you, the listeners, to consider this. Rob Washburn is in the studio with me today. He's our community producer, and joining us today is Duff Sprague from the Northumberland Community Health Center. Now, I'm going to read this again from your website. Our community health promoter and community health worker both work with clients, community members, and community organizations to develop health promotion programs, activities, and strategies to support a healthy community. We've been establishing relationships and partnerships with a broad range of organizations and individuals. Our list of services offered will change and grow as the healthcare needs in this community continue to emerge and evolve. We welcome your input as we develop your CHC community healthcare to serve the needs of residents throughout Port Hope and the surrounding area. You can check out the website, as I would urge you to do. And that's going to lead right into Rob's next question, because you were talking about partnerships, right?
Well, I guess I guess where it comes down to is the communication network. Because I'm curious as to how word gets out that you're available to do these kinds of things. Because in the mainstream, and you're just over there in Port Hope on Toronto Street, and in this lovely building, and you do this work. But we don't hear about this. But just because we don't hear about it doesn't mean the people in need aren't aware, because you work at a different level within the community. So could you talk a bit about how people find out about you and get connected to what you're doing?
Well, I think the outreach piece that we talked about is pretty important, to go to Greenwood and to go to Alderville and to go to the migrant farm workers and Transition House. That's important.
Mm-hmm.
I think in some ways we're Northumberland County's best kept secret.
Mm-hmm.
It's a challenge. It's a challenge finding that balance of getting your name out there, knowing you can't provide primary care to everyone who needs it in this community, and tapping into the priority group, which is those who are most in need of that that care. We have a lot of programs for everybody, and that's where the health promotion you had just read comes in. There's no better way to take care of the envelope of health that we need for Medicare than keeping people healthy.
Right.
That's the best thing you can do, of course. The Romanow report, Roy Romanow did his report on health care, I don't know, 20 years ago, how long ago it was, but at that time, he said primary care is the foundation of protecting Medicare.
That's right, keeping people healthy. Focus on keeping people healthy.
I believe that today. If you have a family doctor or you have a nurse practitioner, especially if you have them as part of an interdisciplinary team, they're going to change the amount of time you need to go to a hospital. If you're over 70 years old and you're in a hospital, you lose like 4% functionality every day you're in a hospital bed. If you're that age, if you go into a hospital, you're not getting the same person out at the other end. It's kind of the slippery slope. Keep them out in the community. And that's why it gets frustrating when people either can't find a primary care provider, or the primary care provider they have, they can't get in to see.
Right.
So we try to play our part in that. You know, in an ideal world, every Ontarian would have access to an interdisciplinary team. That's the commitment from the Ministry of Health, the Minister of Health. I hope that happens. It's a big task. It's a big job. It's what's needed. The payoff is down the road. I think sometimes in the mandate of governments, they don't want to invest the money it would take in primary care, because the reward is the next government, is in front of the next government.
They get the benefit.
That's
yeah.
the payoff.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we've got to do it. If we want to preserve universal health care, we've got to start taking these steps.
Well, and recently you had Dr. Danielle Martin was at the Community Health Center. She was there for your big AGM this year. Can you talk a little bit about how that went down? Because for those of you that don't know her, she is a strong advocate for single payer. She's spoken before the Senate in the U.S. most recently, actually, just a couple of months ago, actually, where she basically ripped them a new one. They were trying to describe Canada's healthcare system as, you know, too long in wait times. It's a patchwork. And, of course, she totally destroyed the myth. She said the only thing Ontario healthcare is missing is more funding. That's quite frankly, that's what it needs, is more money. And where does that money come from? But she talked about streamlining services. But that's really what you're talking about. I mean, when you partner with legal services, when you partner with the dental services, I mean, these are all things that lead to stabilizing one's health. And we're not just talking about, you know, I'm not feeling good. I'm talking about your mental health, talking about your social health as well. You know, if you're income insecure or your housing insecure, then that's going to lead to anxiety. It's going to lead to pressure on your heart. It's going to lead to pressure on your immune system, all of those things. And that's what you're talking about when you're talking about those core health services, right?
Well, yeah, I think too often the funder, the ministry, the government, looks at healthcare in its silo. And what does this model do right. to keep people healthier? What are the outcomes here and at what cost? And they don't look at the broader picture. The cost of housing, the cost of dental care, the cost of pharmaceuticals. You talk about a national pharmaceutical program. Should somebody be in a hospital bed because they can't afford a $60 prescription? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? $1,900 a day because they don't have $60 or $100 for their heart medication? That's crazy. Some of these things are so obvious. And I guess, you know, that's where I'm parroting Dr. Danielle Martin. If she sees some of these things, it would drive you crazy how simple it would be to implement these things within the funding envelope mm-hmm. that we have. So, you know, I hope national pharmacare happens. I hope more investment in primary care happens. And I hope more investment in housing and dental happens.
What role do local municipalities have in the model that you're talking about? Because I know down at the eastern end of the county, there's quite a debate going on in Brighton right now about the leasing of space to provide a place for their family health team. And the big debate, of course, is that this is not a municipal responsibility. This is a provincial responsibility. It's a federal responsibility. What role do you see municipalities having in supporting the work kinds of model that you're proposing for the community?
Well, you know, I think the municipalities, unfortunately, can be put in the position where for their community, they need to put dollars into health care. That really is not their mandate, but they've got to do it. You know, if they're going to look after the community, they've got to do what they can. In Northern Ontario, you can't, you know, in the places that can't get physicians, mm-hmm. the municipality, the community builds them a house, mm-hmm. you know, gives them, you know, additional dollars, does whatever it takes to get doctors into their community. Mm-hmm. You know, unfortunately, communities have to sort of rally around some of the gaps in the healthcare system.
Right.
So I'm not saying that this is the proper approach, but I'm saying if I was in Brighton and I wanted my healthcare there, I would look to whatever public resource there was to make that happen.
But I know you're already taking some dollars from the county, and you're talking to Coburg about leasing space. I guess when we come back, maybe it's a good idea to talk about how all that works and where they can insert themselves in to support and play a role.
We'll be right back after this break, listeners.
Tune in to Modern Jazz Today, a weekly radio show that focuses on today's jazz improvisers and creators, cutting their teeth and cutting the edge of sound. Join us as we explore what's new, what's groundbreaking, and where it's happening. Sunday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio.
Time to turn up the heat. Downtown Coburg presents the 49th annual sidewalk sale. From Thursday, August 3rd to Sunday, August 6th, come downtown for the hottest sales of the summer. Along with downtown deals from your favorite merchants, each day is filled with summer foods, live music, and family fun. Don't miss the four-day shopping experience of the summer, the sidewalk sale, Thursday to Sunday. Everything under the sun. Downtown Coburg, 8 blocks of awesome.
Northumberland 89.7 is proud to serve our community. We are winners of the Business Achievement Award in Communications and Technology. Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
And welcome back. We're just about ready to wrap this up. We're interviewing our special guest today, Duff Sprague from the Northumberland Community Health Care Center, the Community Health Center, rather. They're located at 99 Toronto Road in Port Hope. You can always give them a call at 905-885-2626 or email them info@porthopechc.ca.
We were talking before the break about the municipal role, and I know that you've had a one-off grant given to you from the county, and I guess what I'm trying to explore right now is there a greater role for municipalities to play? Obviously, funding doctors directly is not their role, but when you talk about the plethora of services, the jambalaya of services that we talked about earlier, there are seems to me to be places where they can insert themselves. Could you maybe talk a bit about that? And as a way to create a more sustainable model that allows you to do this integrated approach?
Yeah, I think that it's really about partnerships. You know, the money that they have is not to fund health care, but through partnerships such as them putting a housing and income support worker at our center, mm-hmm. that's a partnership. And mm-hmm. it's a valuable partnership to the person that walks through that door. They don't care where the funding came from. They care that they came in. There's a food cupboard. There's a doctor or a nurse practitioner, and around the corner there is an income support worker who can help them with whatever issues they face. Like, that's what they're looking for. So I think it's really about co-locating and doing the things that we can do in partnership. They offer services that resonate with the population that we serve. You know, if somebody walks into our doctor or nurse practitioner or social worker's office and doesn't have housing and doesn't have money, they scramble. They step outside of their role as a healthcare professional. I've seen them. I've seen them on the phone. I've seen them looking for housing. I've seen them doing a lot of things that really aren't part of their mandate. Mm-hmm. So if you can have those individuals on site, that's great. The other piece for me is when you go to an agency that doesn't provide healthcare, when you're looking at income support or housing and those sorts of things, mm-hmm. and you come across people who don't have doctors and nurse practitioners, who don't have a provider, think about us. Like, if you're talking about a high-need person that you're dealing with, it's not to say they're going to get right in. We do have waiting lists and those sorts of things. But don't just think about the housing and the income. Think about, geez, do you have a provider?
Well, you said you have a wait list. Is that a prioritized wait list? I mean, if someone shows up, you've got people who've been waiting on the list 2-3 years, but someone who shows up who is in immediate, dire situation, is that person going to get moved to the top of the line?
Yeah, we have an intake process.
Okay.
And our intake process tries to strike a balance. But we do have to take, you know, in some cases, the highest need. When we made this partnership with Northumberland Hills Hospital, we were basically saying to them that we will make 12 people a priority to come to us rather than be, you know, $700 at emergency. And that $700 is just when you walk through the door.
Right.
That's not when you have your lab tests and your x-rays mm-hmm. and those kinds of things. So it can be very costly. And, you know, God forbid you go into the ER and you end up in a hospital bed. You know, massive amounts of money. So, you know, that's why we give priority to some.
Now, do you work with volunteers at all, or are they part of your picture as well?
I'm glad you asked, because we have 50 fantastic volunteers, and they do a lot of things for us. And especially, you know, I just want one quick one here. We have the food cupboard, and we had a lot of vegetables donated by farmers, and they weren't being picked up and they weren't being used. A group of volunteers became the Soup Sisters. They turn those vegetables.
Say, yeah.
They turn those vegetables into soup, and those soup just fly off the shelves on food
yeah.
cupboard day. So it's that kind of creativity that volunteers bring through the door.
That's it, and that's why they're so vital to most organizations in this community. I want to thank you, Duff, for being here, and I want to extend an invitation to you at any time to come by and talk to us here at Northumberland 89.7. By the way, you guys have your own show. You have a show here on Tuesday mornings with a dental...
Trish Byrne, who is a diabetes educator.
That's right.
And Adam Hudson, who's a dietitian. So you should tune into that one.
So that show, and that's Tuesdays at noon, if I remember correctly. I could be wrong, but you can check our schedule for that one, listeners. I'm Dave Glover. You've been listening to The Drive Time, Canada's only holistic political chat. Rob Washburn, my community producer, and my good friend is here as well. We are here every Wednesday after 6 p.m., where we ask you, the listeners, to consider that. Here's the Guess Who to take us out.
Found myself some way.
No time left for you.
wonder.